Yeah. Welcome to A Course in Miracles.
So, there is kind of a poison living in the world that you taste it, and as much as it hurts, the poison hurts, it makes you want more. Because it seems to be powerful. And this poison is the word fear. There's a poison in this world called fear. And even though it does not feel good, the world says it's wise. And that if you fear something, then you're closer to understanding it and being safe from it if you fear it. If you dig in and find out how much it could hurt you. And if you defend yourself from whatever it is you fear, you feel safer. So you want more fear in a way. You want a better understanding of how this could hurt you. You want other people to tell you how this could hurt you. And then you're somehow going to feel better, safer. But remember, fear hurts. It just doesn't feel good. It's not a happy thing.
You know, you just shifted my whole world in a few sentences. That fear for me is a personal strategy. Because I was at least sometimes physically, but mostly verbally abused by my dad. And one of the things I got out of that was, I'm on my own, I'm independent, I don't need anybody. But the one part of that was, I got to get it right. Yes. And if I can't get it right, then I'm not moving on. I'm not speaking, I'm not doing something. And so my fear then became incorporated into my strategy to survive.
Yes, that's it, Stephen. That's it. And if you could perfect what it is you were afraid of, you'd be doing something right.
Yes, exactly.
This is a nasty addiction.
Yeah.
Like any drug.
Totally insidious.
It just burns. As you pursue it more, it just makes
it's a
bigger
vicious circle.
It's a vicious circle. Yeah, yeah. That's a poison of this world. Subtle poison of this world that makes so much sense to the world. It makes so much sense to the world. You should be afraid of things that can hurt you. That's how you don't get hurt, fool. Get out of this Course in Miracles. It's making you soft. I know you smile a lot, and that bothers me a little bit, because I think you're not defending yourself. You're not protecting yourself from the dangers of the world. You come out of that Course in Miracles meeting, and you're all peaced out.
Yeah, shame.
I wish you guys are drinking in there, but you're not prepared to handle the world if you're smiling.
Not serious.
I have insurance.
Not serious enough.
Not serious enough.
I have lots of insurance.
Oh, good.
That's how she's saving herself.
This idea you're putting out, like, you know, well, you got to, it's like we're making all these sacrifices, okay. But I'm at the point now, I'm just reading about that and realize the idea that we could be sacrificing for something of this world now seems absurd.
Yes.
Because the idea is insane.
Yes, the idea hurts.
So we're looking at, well, this is going to help me. Wait a minute, that's not even real. So they realize it's the idea that's killing me, not any of that shit.
It's the idea that's hurting, not what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
That is the point of A Course in Miracles.
Yeah, so now it's like, this is starting to really go away.
The idea, wouldn't the idea be what you're thinking about?
Yes, well, it's the idea of fear. And then you apply fear to something.
Oh, to something.
Like dad's, or whatever dad said, or God, which we're digging into tonight. We're taking the fear, which we think is a real operative lever. We think fear is it's a poison of this world. But we find a use for this poison, and so we use fear in the world.
Well, it's a currency of the world.
It's a currency of the world.
Yeah.
Like if you look at, you know, dictators or autocrats, you know, they use fear in order to get power.
Yes.
And it's interesting to see that, you know, they're all the things that you want to stay away from. They're like overly serious. They point the finger at enemies. There's all these enemies.
Yes.
They use fear.
Yes.
Anger.
Yes.
All the things.
They focus on weakness.
On weakness. Right. Yeah.
They focus on future failure.
And then people feel weak.
Mm-hmm. They remind you of past failures.
Right.
In order to bolster the fear.
Right.
And so it's all a focus on weakness.
Yeah.
In order to be strong.
In order to be strong.
Let's look at the weak. Practice the weak. Idolize the weak. It's a poison.
That but just it's all, and it's all for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and for them to feel safe.
But it feels safe. Yeah. There's an argument that says it will make you safe. There's an argument for that. But that's how the world is built. We're here to go the exact opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to recognize fear as a poison. We're here to understand that what fears is of the separate domain that can be hurt. It's a whole dream of hurt. And to understand that we, whoever we actually are not of that domain. Who you actually are, and let me correct myself as we go up another layer in the discussion. I said who, right? That's what you heard? Of Course in Miracles says what you actually are. Turns out who is very egoistic.
Mm.
What you actually are is invulnerable. Herein lies the peace of God.
I totally feel like I'm starting to experience that because I just got back from this business trip down in Utah, and I have this like business opportunity that could be like really good or, you know, really prosperous for me, and I just like didn't care, like in a way that I was like, whatever happens, it's fine. Like, it really doesn't matter. Like, I had no fear about, like, is this going to work out? Are these people going to like me? Like, I felt so removed from it. I was like, is this part of God's plan for my salvation, or isn't it? Mm-hmm. It'll either happen or it won't, according to that. And that's all I care about.
And you still showed up with the phone calls, with the, I don't know, resume or product brochures or details, or whatever it was that you would do, completely afraid or completely overexcited.
Yeah.
You still probably did the same things. So whoever's going to make the decision on this business opportunity still has the same input. What they don't have is a nervous Nelly on the other end of the phone or on the line. You know. And so I like to remind you of the martial arts teaching. When you start out in martial arts, it's dangerous, and there's punching, and you can get bruised, and so what happens is you tighten up quite a bit, and you're very defensive, and you must get out of that tightness because you're slow, you're over anticipating, and if you're going to throw a punch, you're advertising, here it comes, fool, because you're afraid to hit. So you try to scare the person. For all of these ego things are addressed in martial arts to make you very calm and centered as you face your business opportunity or an opponent. And as you're calm, there's a lot more space in between your perceptions and your thoughts. Your breathing is easy, your eyes are open, and you're able to see your opponent's movements. There's time. You're not so closed with your defense. So you're actually undefended. But you're ready for the appropriate defense, which might just be step out of the way as they go right by.
Like Tai Chi.
Yes.
Or Aikido, I mean.
Aikido. You know, it's all about picking the other person's center of gravity, their center of weight. You learn to see their center of weight. And you move yourself into that center and pull on that string. Not on some fist or breaking some piece of them, but going to their center and just pushing it off balance. And now they lose the ability to throw their punch. Yeah. So with this business opportunity, your calmness would allow you to be and if you had done this 117 times, to that type of business, you would be the same way now, maybe, or even more calm. OK? because you say, by the way, when I work with a company your size, here are the kind of things I like to do for you. You've done 117 times.
But what allowed me to be so calm is I really didn't care. Like, I didn't feel invested in the outcome one way or the other, because I felt like I just want to allow what's supposed to happen to happen. You know?
Yes! All the fear is gone.
Yeah.
But the interest is still there. The ability to do the right thing is still there without the fear. Beautiful. Yeah.
Every it sounds to me like you've gotten to the place where fear isn't there for you. You, David, have figured out a way to think about it that fear isn't there for you. It feels to me, and I have a different way of thinking about fear, and I'm wondering if everybody would have a different way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Like I say, fear is a coin of this world. It's a poison here that is absolutely used and makes you feel safe. So everybody here at your different levels is dealing with fear differently. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt.
My idea of fear is, I think it doesn't work for me, so I just don't let it be there.
Mm-hmm.
It just, when I feel fearful, I say, oh, that, what, you know, then I move away because it doesn't work.
So it doesn't work. So you've tried it enough to see that it doesn't go anywhere useful. Even though it shows up, you don't follow it?
No, not normally.
There you go.
I've fallen through a 9-foot ceiling once on my back. And as I was falling to the ground, I was thinking, well, I better not pass out because I have to tell my kids in case they need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never broken a bone, and I've fallen many times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like a drunk person.
Eventually,
I just relax when I'm afraid.
Things that don't work, you won't repeat once you see that they don't work. That's Course in Miracles. Yeah.
I have fear of people that have power over my heart.
Mm, yes.
So, I love them, but I'm afraid of my kids sometimes, and my wife, and even my mom and stuff, that something could happen that they could, well, first off, that they could be hurt, but they could say something hurtful.
Yes. Well, David, that's something we spent a lot of time with this book, because that's another poison of this world.
Oh, I see it.
That you seem to want more of, because
I can't stand it.
It's absolutely good.
I look at that.
You've come to the right place, because you're doubting that is what love should be, or how love should be, will be your ticket out.
I can't stand on dwelling on that. I can't stand it.
Good. You come to the right place. You got the right book. Because it turns out, so many things we study, A Course in Miracles, God, it may be absolutely everything. Before Course in Miracles, ego approach is exactly opposite of the truth. What love actually is. In the world, love is you do all the right things and then you get love. And that's the way, is love comes and surrounds you, and then you say, I'm in love. Why? Because I did everything right and that person's participating and it's just so wonderful. I'm in love. Okay? That's the world. It's very fragile. And it describes that that's actually something where you have a safe place with these loved ones in a storm of hate surrounding you. And if somebody ventures out, you get sucked into that hate for a little while. Oh no, come back to the loving place, don't you see? This is a special space in the middle of all the storm of hate, as it describes in chapter 16. Okay? That's the world. Very delicate situation. And all the ones who are not in your circle of love, well, there's something I hate about them, hate about them, hate about them. You know, there's these people who are the wrong gender, or the wrong political bend, or they're the wrong side of the street, or they're from a different country, or they're from a company that's against my company, or there's somebody who sued me. And these are all people who would not invite into your loving space.
That's not right.
Yeah. That's the ego. That's the world. Because I use the word special. In this book, the word special is an S word. Special is a denigrating word. Because in truth, in unity, everything is shared. There's nothing special.
So So talking about like drawing a comparison to bigotry.
Yes.
You know, fear of the other.
Yes.
So the person who is not, who you don't have any affinity with, becomes like an alien or something that you, in your mind, you denigrate or belittle.
Yes.
Because you don't have a sense of closeness to that person.
And automatically defend yourself from being like them.
Yeah.
Or liking them.
Right. Yeah. And come up with reasons why not to like them.
And make yourself look better in contrast.
Right.
I also think that bigotry is based on something even deeper than that. Because if they prove themselves better than you are, that would mean you're not very good. I think it's a way of feeling shame.
Oh, that's
bigotry is a way of trying to make yourself not feel shame.
No, that's interesting. Because, mm-hmm.
As far as I know, it's taught in this world. Mm-hmm. It's learned.
Yeah.
But at the bottom of it, what is it based on?
Separation.
It's based on separation. Which is fed by fear.
The book says a union where union is excluded, and I'm just having like some aha moments with what you just shared. I remember that part of the book with the circle of hate, but I don't think I got it when I was reading that.
Mm-hmm.
But a union where union's excluded, if I mean, you can be, like, you can even have a really great, not super special relationship with somebody, but if there's people that aren't included, if you can't have that response to any other person, then all it is reinforcing separation, right? So
right.
And it's really tricky, I think, in these bodies because, you know, I've stood in an airport before and I've like just looked at random people and thought, okay, like what if like I didn't see everybody as these separate bodies? You know, what if like somebody will walk by and I'll think that's somebody's mother, that's somebody's son, you know, this person is really loved by someone or some people's, right? But I don't feel the connection because I'm just seeing the bodies. So I think I get it now what that expression means in the book, but I think like as we walk through our lives, it's really hard to see with Christ eyes, I guess.
You bet. Yeah. And because we're confusing what we are with who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And they are two different thought systems.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here to wake up from the dream of being these separate bodies that don't actually share bank accounts with everybody. We have each mm-hmm. separate bank accounts, we have each separate addresses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go home in my car, you go home in your car, and separate off we go. But that's not the level that we're learning. It's not the level of our freedom.
How do you, like, going on Julie's point, like, how do you explain or whatever, like, you know, how you have an affinity for some people? You know, like, you can be with a group and you're like, I feel, you know, drawn to this person. I feel more connected to this person. Like, you know, is that, like, a bad thing?
No. It is all, everything is on a continuum here, and that's only to be gentle with you. Time and space now will be seen as gentle methods to bring you back to oneness. And there are some with whom you have an affinity, and it will be easier for you to hear them speak. It will be easier for you to help them because you have this affinity, and that's the easy way. It's the easy way. And now with the Holy Spirit working with you, you know, those relationships will be used to bring you to peace and joy, from which you can actually include more that you never could have included before. No, you follow those because you need that easy way. As far away as we are from understanding what oneness is, take the easiest way you can find, but bring the Holy Spirit with you. And you will find that as you come to peace yourself, because you could hear it with these people who are like you or whatever you like, a strength is born in you that wasn't there before. And your circle gets larger. Another word for this is compassion. Another phrase for this is the bodhisattva in Buddhism. They can't help it. As your mind becomes more at peace, it starts to be more inclusive and more understanding of the sameness, and what was absolutely different has more in common than you thought. The things that made people look like they didn't love you you will now see as a motivation for love. It just wasn't being answered. So it was really biting. Completely opposite, I just said. Completely opposite! Yes?
You know, Misako and I, we both volunteer for this organization at the county where we counsel elderly, you know, people over 55. You know, we're both over 55, so we do that.
I think we're all gonna be stopping by there.
And when I first started doing it, I tried so hard to be helpful and to, you know, listen to people that people actually felt uncomfortable around me. Mm. And, you know, one guy called up and said he didn't, you know, want me to come anymore. And he felt like I wasn't listening to him, and I was trying so hard to listen to this guy. And I learned something from that I felt uncomfortable around him too, because I didn't feel I couldn't have anything in common, and I asked him so many questions to try to get to know him that he felt uncomfortable.
Yes.
So
yes.
I learned that the thing that what you know if you don't know somebody and. The thing is to just listen and to just be silent. Let them talk, and if nothing is said, then nothing's said. But if you just kind of like be there with the silence,
it's compassion, true compassion.
You have to let go of yourself,
yes,
and listen and really listen with like as if your whole being.
And you know how hard it is to be so quiet like that.
Yeah, it is. You have to keep reminding yourself, like, okay. It's not about me.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if you're asking the questions, you're kind of setting the agenda.
That's right.
Versus if you're just there, then you allow them to just set the agenda.
That's right, yeah.
It takes some courage, though, to be so quiet in a time when you're supposed to be providing a service.
Yes.
But that's exactly the service that would get through. It would set the proper tone. But how many times just being there with somebody, just your bare presence... Just the presence of being there.
But that, I mean, to me, that's the common element that answers, you know, the question of, like, how do I relate to people that I don't know, that I don't feel affinity with? Mm-hmm. You just be a space for that person.
Yep.
You let go of your ego, yourself, your own agenda.
Agenda.
And, you know, I mean, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. If people don't want to talk to you, fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But, you know, Stephen, if you're able to do what you're just saying, what I find fills up that space is love.
Yeah.
If you're able to do that, then what I feel is love.
For love, yeah. That's right.
And that's what I can give is love. If I'm able to get rid of my own agenda, then there is no agenda and all there is love.
That's right.
Yes. Now, she said a key word there. She said give. And that brings us back to what we're talking about. From the special relationship to the holy relationship. Special relationship is the ego's relationship, where the special person is the one you have a relationship with. Only that special person, right? That's where you go in, you expect, you do everything right, and love comes to you. You get surrounded by love, and you're in love. Well, of course, the miracle is love. You discover the love that you've been seeking actually comes from you. And as it's waiting in you, and as you give it, you experience something happening to you that appears to go out there and come back to you. As you give the love, you receive the love, regardless of what happens out there. So now, instead of love surrounding you, being in love, you are emitting love. And now you are in love as you, the source. It's closer to you than it could possibly have been otherwise. And it's custom made for you, because it's the love that you understand. This is the love that connects your heart to another heart. Because it's so honest. Looking for love outside you is not honest. We'll get into that later.
It's needy.
It's needy. Mm. Yes. It's from lack.
You're afraid of it.
There's something to be afraid of, not getting it. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's from lack.
And also, you're waiting for it to happen.
Yeah. And then you're going to measure it when it seems to happen. Right. Is this the real thing?
Yeah, is this good or not?
Is it good enough?
Yeah.
After all, think of what I did to try to get us here. Maybe you should give me a little more.
Yeah.
And then I'll feel the love. Right? Very conditional. Very conditional.
Let me say one thing on that. The silence part, when you're speaking to somebody, I just started this book on by this Buddhist monk, that
name. Thich Nhat Hanh?
Yes. Called Thundering Silence.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just a great way of saying that, the power of silence, which I'm finally discovering.
Spaciousness.
I was teaching a class one time about inner focusing, and I was standing up there with this class of graduate students in psychology, and the first thing I said was, you know, of course, you love your clients. And they looked at me like I was so weird. Like, what do you mean I love my clients? I don't even know my clients. How can I love them? And I thought,
geez. The word has to change, right, Luann?
Pardon?
The understanding of love has to change.
Has to.
Everybody turn to page 422 in the text. Page 422 in the text. What page, Kenny?
422 in the text.
Yes.
Always go to that page.
Well, that's always the first page I always go to before I sit down, right?
We always go to that page. That's what David said, because ever since he joined the group, we've been on that page.
And David, I want you to know I've been here almost a year now, and it feels like we're speeding through the book.
He was like, why do you even carry my whole book? I just tear out this page and put my I'm going to leave it underneath my cushion, he says. It'll be here for me.
I just was in the text this morning in a different section where I'm reading myself, but I had written in the margins here, started this section on 11/9/17. It happens to be the start of Obstacles to Peace, but it was 2017.
Oh, my God.
A year ago.
Oh, my so, God. Really?
It was the very start of it, though, Obstacles to Peace. So it's 12 pages ago.
It's taken us that long to go 12 pages?
13 pages, I think.
A page
about
a month?
Time.
Yeah.
Anyway, wow. I just stumbled upon that this morning, so I was like, oh, well,
wow.
That's funny.
Thanks. Whoa, we're actually slowing down. I can't believe it. Well,
that's when I started was the Obstacles to Peace.
Mm-hmm. It's a very important section.
1 year later.
Okay. David, are you ready for us? We're gonna reread paragraph 11 as we work our way to paragraph 12 tonight.
Okay.
Now we're going backwards. I just told you we're slowing down. Now we're going backwards.
By the end of the night, we're going to get to paragraph 12.
Let's just start at page 1. At the end of the night, we're going to get to paragraph 12. That's my goal. Because, you know, 11's got this key phrase in it, you know.
To look upon the fear of God does need some preparation. Only the same can look on stark insanity and raving madness with pity and compassion, but not with fear. Only if they share in it does it seem fearful.
Boom.
And you do share in it until you look upon your brother with perfect faith and love and tenderness. Before complete forgiveness, you stand still, unforgiving. You are afraid of God because you fear your brother. Those you do not forgive, you fear. And no one reaches love with fear beside him.
Because the danger is left in place. Because the harm that you see is left in place. If you fear your brother, you're continuing to idolize how you personally can be hurt and how you could hurt somebody else. So fear is justified. You're leaving it in place. You're leaving the fact that you will be harmed by this person, and you could harm this person. In fact, you kind of want to harm this person because they're going to harm you. That's the little circle is this coin of fear and guilt that we leave in place and locks us away from peace and joy and sharing, and it leaves us locked in bodies and in time and space. That little sick cycle.
Can you explain sentence three?
Mm-hmm. For only if they share in it.
And what?
Okay. And the stark insanity, they say, look on fear of God as needs some preparation. Well, in the same, look on stark insanity and raving madness with pity and compassion, but not with fear. For only if the person who's looking share in the dark insanity and raving madness, does it seem fearful. If you believe that the insane rant that somebody said about you, hey, you're this, this, and this, and you should have done this, you don't do that, and you never do this, you never, ever, always, you're this way. If you listen to what they said and say, I could have done better. Maybe I should have done what? Maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. I should have, could have, would have done better. And then, if I did, they wouldn't be mad right now. Wow. Whoops. Mm. Whoops. Ego's got ya. Mm-hmm. If something out there were different, then I would be happy. Whoops. That's sharing in the insanity. Mm-hmm. The conditions of the ego are always in some form being changed. It's the special conditional relationship.
So in other words, like your wife or somebody attacks you with something.
Yeah.
And it's really bullshit, but they'll say something we think, and we're thinking it's true.
That's right.
We're thinking it's true, and because we think that's true.
Yes. And we also think that it could have been different. See? A sickness of the ego. And you can have a big fight in the kitchen on Tuesday about last Thursday when you shoulda, woulda, but you didn't, and now look what we have. And I just want to tell you how rotten that was that you did that without even thinking on Thursday. Oh, my God. You know, it's pretty heavy, right? Well, now we're outside of the present moment. We're outside of even the kitchen. We're outside of the day of the week. We're not even in the week. You see how sick this is. And yet this is how we live our lives and our communication. As you just can't live any other time than now. In the holy relationship, you bring it in. Bring it into now. Both sides understand that things happen. But what we share is that we want to stay in love and we want to move forward in strength together. So I'm going to take this thing that neither one of us wished that you did last week. You don't wish you did it. I don't wish you did it.
So what you're doing there, you're taking that whole incident that happened.
Yes.
Ignoring it.
Yes.
And going to...
We're being reborn now.
Going back to we're all together, we're all loving and all.
Yes, yes.
And just all you're going to see is that, and you don't look at the other part.
Yes, it's time for us to look at page 251. Keep your finger here. We're going to be right back.
I thought for a second we were going forward.
Oh my God, we're going back even further.
One time we went back to one, David.
Yeah. I think it's 251. Yeah, 251. It's time for us to look at... What?
This ain't the first time we've been
here. No, it's probably highlighted. We've been here before. And look at paragraph 3, okay? And this is a section called Finding the Present. Mm. Mm. This is page 250. What page, Kenny?
251.
And it's paragraph 3. And look at the title of this section. And one day we're going to come back and we're going to spend a whole nother night just on this section.
Awesome.
This is finding the present. It's a metaphysical approach of sanity that A Course in Miracles has for us. But you know, all these spiritual things, meditation and teachings speak about becoming present. But I'll tell you, you live in time and space with egos and money and responsibility, you're probably defending a lot about the future from the past. And it's very hard to be in the present and be, sane. Of course, the miracle says you cannot be happy until you find the present.
And only the present.
And only the present, if even for an instant. And when you wake up in the power of the present moment, like you did with your thing, you didn't care about the outcome. You knew that you would just work with what happens. And that just lowered the fear. You're being more present. Don't you want to? It's so much more powerful to be in the present. And then you discover, eventually, that you can only love, if you want love in your life, you want to feel love, you can only love in the exact present. You just, one of the things you discover with your spiritual awakening is you can only experience love right now. You cannot love tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. You can't do it. You just be dreaming about it. But you can love right now. So finding the present, turns out, is a metaphysical awakening. That once you discover how valuable the present is compared to any other possible frame of time, you get, it becomes like a new drug. Because that's where peace is, that's where joy is, that's where sharing is, that's where God is, that's where you are. You know, we all get there in our own way, but it's one of the things the book does, is it really does come in backwards and drop you into the present with its lessons and its teachings. But this is, anyway, it's a beautiful section. I just wanted to point out one sentence that I think summarizes this wonderful metaphysical teaching of A Course in Miracles in paragraph 3, sentence 5, which I'm kind of speed things up tonight because we're going backwards. I just love this section. But we're going to point you at sentence 5. It says, "To be born again is to let the past go and look without condemnation upon the present."
That's why I love coming to this class, because when I'm here in this class, you allow me to be in the present.
Nice.
And the whole class allows me to be in the present.
Nice.
51?
For 250.
Yeah.
250.
And so you live.
And that's, yeah.
You actually live.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of dream.
And I look forward to every Thursday night just because I can spend a couple hours in the present.
Good, good. Thank you, Luann. Thank you for reminding us. Look at paragraph 4, sentence 1. Time can release as well as imprison, depending on whose interpretation of it you use. Past, present, and future are not continuous unless you force continuity on them. And so forth. So back to paragraph 3, sentence 5. You want to be born again? Let the past go. And look without condemnation upon the present, which is what we're going to be studying tonight, as we let go of the fear that would cloud our ability to be with our brother and understand where they're really coming from. The fear puts you from the past, which you think they're going to do, to the future of how bad it's going to be when they do. Skipping over the present entirely. Let's be born again. Yes?
So I'm in the past, which I can't control. I'm in the future, which is not really true.
Yes.
And I'm missing the entire truth of the present.
Exactly. Exactly. You're missing it and actually blocking it by with a focus on the peg, on one leg in the past, another leg in the future, and you're peeing on the present.
Mm. Well, I'm laughing at myself because I just, as you were just a few seconds ago reading this, and I started thinking about a moment earlier today in the past when I was present, and then how quickly I fell out of the present, but I'm like sitting here right now thinking about what I could have done differently to be in the present at work today.
Yes, yes.
And I'm in the past again.
Yes.
So I'm just laughing at myself.
However, that...
It's a learning opportunity, yeah.
...is a healing thought, mm-hmm. because it is an act of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. How could I have released the stinking thinking that kept me away from the present moment? So forgiveness is just another dream. Always is. Just like Julie just had.
And it can be done in the present right now.
It can be done anytime, mm-hmm. about any time. Mm-hmm. It can be it is always done in some other time. The exact moment, there's nothing to forgive in exactly now. Nothing's happening. But you can think about, even when somebody's dead, and you want to change that relationship. God, I just hate that memory I have of that person. Well, close your eyes. Go into a lucid dream, relive the situation, and rethink it. And there's a healing that happens in your existence as you fix that relationship, and you're not alone in the effects of your thoughts. The healing goes out, and this forgiveness will bring a holy instant. In the past, yes, this is a healing thought, but it's just a dream, right? It's a dream of letting go. But it's one that actually does let go of the need for dreaming. Why? Because happiness. Yes.
When you're talking about things, like, you know, someone will get, this is what happens a lot to me, and I usually, I don't even know what to do with it, but you'll have someone will be mad at you about something that happens, and then they want you to sit and talk about it and give them an answer, and then more you let, and so I'm looking at this, we realize that's the past, and a lot of times, looking at it differently, realize it really doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, my old way of looking at what I should fix, what I did wrong, it's not there, and then I'm like, they want an answer, and I'm like, feel stuck, like, you know, like what, and that point's where I get like, what the heck, and that gets me into trouble usually.
Okay, good. Now, look, let's go back to tonight's reading now. And with that situation where you're stuck,
yeah,
and you really like to have the wise thing to say to solve the whole problem, right? They're full of heavy words with a finger on your chest.
Yeah.
Okay, check it out. Sentence two, only the sane can look on stark insanity and raving madness intermixed with your name and four-letter words. How would the sane look on that raving madness in four-letter words?
Compassion.
With pity and compassion.
And there's always an answer. And always say, and what would I say to make you feel better about that?
So, another way to say that is, rather than you fighting what you tell me. Anybody recognizes this phrase, tell me, okay? Otherwise, I'm just going to say it. We'll leave it to something more spiritual than where I got it. Fight not what you hate, but save what you love. Do not fight what you hate. Same situation now. In that same situation, you could decide to fight what you hate. That would be a fight, wouldn't it? Rather, same situation, choose to save in the situation what you love.
Yeah.
Same situation, but you're going to come at it with a different perspective, and it will be colored that way. Instead of looking to fight what's wrong, you will be trying to find the right words to see what you guys have in common and save what you love.
Yeah.
It's just going to sound different. It's a different approach. The Holy Spirit will be inviting you now to say loving things. Otherwise, the ego would be pushing you to put in a jab and say something hating and fighting so you can win.
I had another question here. When they use that word pity and compassion.
Yes.
The word pity, you get in trouble with that word.
Yep.
If you're pitying somebody because you think you're better,
yes,
that's really not. So it's got to be a more deeper word. You know, pity has got to be without that negative connotation, I think.
Sure, because another way you can look at it is you pity the smallness of the ego.
Okay.
That is really only worthy of pity.
Yeah.
You've been there.
The person out of it.
You've been there.
Yeah.
It's not like you're, as the Course teaches us also, is that it is upon us now as we awaken to help our brothers by recognizing we were once in their shoes.
Mm.
And it is true. As you start to choose peace, you learn you don't have to raise your voice to get something.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
David, I took that pity to mean something different. And being someone who's been in stark insanity and raving madness,
mm-hmm.
I took that pity to being a more generous thing than to be pitied, which I can see what you're saying is, you know, that's kind of like pitiful, poor, poor, pitiful me. But this is more of a generous to be.
Nice.
Yeah.
Compassion, considerate.
Pity,
nice. You bet. Yeah, because somebody truly, if they're truly pitiful, they would deserve your help. They're weak. and they are weak. Following the ego is a very weak thing. It's uncomfortable. Like I said,
that explanation gave me kind of a hit, because we're looking at, by looking at the, at that moment, I could see the ego. I saw the person who they were, and I didn't have the ego attached to them anymore.
Nice. Yes.
It's like the insane illusion.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool that once I see it that way, it made more sense.
Yeah, because if you only look at the raving part of it, you're going to see them as strong. And that, and then if something's strong coming at you, you would need a strong defense. But if you see this raving lunacy as something that should be pitied for the weakness that it truly is, it's a call for love. They're very ugly, but it is not from strength. They're doing it because they feel weak. They're doing it to you. All this color that's coming at you should be pitied, because it's not coming from strength. It's coming from a sense of lack. The underpinnings of fear is I have something to lose. It's quite weak. Even though it can come out in the world's terms, it's very strong and dangerous. When you see it with the Holy Spirit, you will no longer feel you need to attack it. This is key now. And your fear will go down. Your fear will go down. It's so important you recognize this is about you. Your fear will go down as you pity the weakness that they are appealing to get what they want. You're like, wow, you know what? I'm going to give them a little more space. Let's let them talk it out. You know what? Let's let them really color it up, because they're in a world of hurt. Instead of defending yourself and shutting them down so that they hear your words, no. You know what? Let's give them more room. You see how different this is? The Holy Spirit says, you pity your brother. Give him some room to say all the swear words he needs to say to get his energy burned off. And let's come in with some love and some compassion. And maybe we'll break down this fight. It's totally opposite of what the ego would do.
I think, you know, nobody deserves to feel as though you're bad. And so if you come from nothing's wrong, and you love yourself, then the only reaction that you can have to somebody who's angry with you is that, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
that's right.
You know, what can I do?
Yeah.
You know, nobody deserves the wrath of another person, because we're all, you know, good. We're all...
Okay, now let's not mix levels. Okay,
yeah.
So on one level, the level of the body, you can do very bad things that are deleterious and harmful, et cetera, et cetera. We're all good on the level of spirit.
In the level of spirit, that's what I mean.
And so the drive for the very bad things is the same drive that you had for doing charitable work and helping people with 55 and over.
Yeah.
It seems so old.
55.
So young.
Except when you get there, it doesn't matter.
But you see, you're going to see the sameness. And the differences we still treat is two different levels. There's only, thank God, only two. There's a level of material and a level of spiritual.
Yeah, spirit. I'm talking about spiritual level.
You see the spiritual, then your compassion will come out.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So you have to feel it for yourself.
Yes.
You have to feel that compassion for yourself and that love for yourself. If you can stand there, then you're bulletproof.
Yeah, that's right.
You
know. Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's what's going to survive. Yes.
I just want to tell a really quick story that came in my mind when we're talking about carrying the past with us and also fear. So tonight, I have a teenage daughter. I've talked about her before, and I saw that last night she wore my boots, and then again tonight she wore my boots. I saw them out front, and the first thing I thought is she always wears the same pair of shoes, and the last time she didn't wear them, she was in, had lost them in Hawaii, and she got sent home for drinking on a school trip, and she lied to me about that she lost the shoes and just said she left them at a friend's house. So anyway, she always wears the same shoes. We bought her a new pair, And then I saw that she'd worn my boots, and I instantly went back to the past, remembered that, mm-hmm. and I was like, she must have lost her shoes, mm-hmm. and she must be doing, you know, bad mm-hmm. things again. Mm-hmm. And so I asked her, I said, why did you wear my boots? And I said, what happened to your shoes? And she said, oh, they just went with my outfit better. But I didn't believe her. And mm-hmm. that happened again today, and I was like, she wore them 2 days in a row. She must have lost mm-hmm. the shoes like she did before. I had fear mm-hmm. that things were going mm-hmm. bad based on, like, past thoughts. So I went, she was in the bath, and I, like, knocked on the door, and I, did you lost the mm-hmm. shoes? And I started this whole argument with her based on a past memory and fear.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Colored the whole thing over.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it was like a train that I couldn't stop,
yes,
you know?
Yes,
like, I didn't
yes.
even think about it until I got here.
Yes.
I mean, I knew it was bad, but I felt very justified
right.
because it had happened.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Based on the past, you got a reason.
yeah.
You got a reason to say those things.
It was an educated decision based that's, on past experience.
That's right.
So the how do you get away from that?
The past shall repeat itself.
But out of fear. And fear and past together yes. made like a perfect storm.
That's right. Yep. And it just put a heavy blanket, a heavy wet blanket over your life.
And it made me start a fight and create an antagonistic situation.
Yes, yes indeed. Yes indeed. This is the burden of the idolization of the past. That's why the first lessons are, oh, nothing I see actually means anything, because I give everything I see all the meaning it has for me. I do. And I don't see anything as it is now. My thoughts don't even mean anything because they're so plagued with these ideas from other time. I don't see things as they are now, and yet I believe that I do see them correctly. So I carry my incorrect perception with me into the present from the past, lying to myself about what it was. And I'm never upset for the reason I think, because I'm thinking about the past so much I didn't see it as it was presently. I should be upset for a whole different reason if I have to be upset, but I'm lying to myself. These are the first five lessons.
One of the things that Misako and I love, like, she'll get upset over something that happened like 20 years ago,
yes.
and like all of a sudden she'll be upset about this thing, and she'll say, you know, you didn't do blah blah blah, and I'm like going along my life and I'm feeling like pretty good, and mm-hmm. it's like all of a sudden
yeah.
I'm like, she's talking to me as though I'm like a villain, and it's yeah. like, it's hard to reconcile, because it's like, yeah. how do you deal with it? Something in the past, in the moment, in the
right.
moment, you know?
Should have known that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Should have known that.
Yeah, I should have known better.
Yeah. In my dream, I went back in time and fixed that. So,
there you go.
Yeah,
so
right.
yeah.
You're
off, let's jump it in together.
Base.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Well, you know, take her to this page.
She'll really be upset.
Hit her over the head with
a book.
That's
going to work. Yeah,
read this book. You should be reborn and forget your past.
Yeah.
I have.
Isn't that kind of what David was saying he was afraid of about loving people, in a way? That they can come back at you, and you have no defense because it's the past, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about the past, and it makes you feel low because there's nothing you can do about it at that point.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's when you deeply love someone, there's a lot invested in that.
There's
a lever. There's a lot of stuff that comes up. Yes. And part of it is insecurity and fear. Yeah. And then that deep love you're talking about, it can be pure and everything, but finding my way there is what I'm trying to learn in here, and that's that God has all these things available to me as long as I get out of that stuff.
Yes.
That ego stuff.
Well, thank you for bringing us back to that, because I want to...
Go
ahead.
So that's what I was trying... Anyway, I just wanted to...
No, it's good. That's yeah. good. Right back to where
you said that, because it's nice to know that you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the world's way of loving is we get love from how others respond. And that this will fulfill a deep need for love to be recognized, is that they're loving back to me, and I love them, and they love me, and then we're both happy. It's very tenuous, and it breaks. Mm-hmm. It breaks all the time. Up and down is conditional love. So you can be hurt and you should be hurt, according to the world. That's the world. As we heal the idea of love, as your mind awakens to what love really is, we start to have to put a capital L on it to distinguish it from the conditional small love that's before Course in Miracles and the world is built on. All the love songs, which are really hate songs that didn't have to hate for a little while, but eventually it did hate. We have to be healed from this crazy cycle of loss, of gain and loss, as this two sides of the coin of love. When we awaken to love, the true love, as the Course says, true love gives, David. Mm-hmm. And, I'm not done yet, only, and here's the kicker, gives. Mm-hmm. Period.
Mm-hmm. So it's difficult, right?
If it gives and only gives, it can never not be present. When once seen, it also means it's not of this world. You can hold love. You can hold love in your awareness, but it will not come from this world. Everything the ego says comes from the world. You had the kids, right? They were born, they were raised, they have your last name for a while, and so therefore there's automatic love. They're my family, for crying out loud. I spent all this devotion with them. I spent money, I spent time, I forego other relationships, my money is all for you kids, or you wife. I bought your love. I'm not willing to say that, because I'm a gentleman.
Conditional.
Quite conditional. That can be lost, and it is lost in this world, because it's conditional. Because it wasn't... Yeah?
This is what you said, tenuous.
Hmm?
It's tenuous.
It's tenuous. That's right. That's right. Because the love you gave wasn't the flavor that they wanted at the time.
Or at any given moment.
Oh my God, or any given moment. But there is another way to see the love. In the same circumstances. That's why I love this book. Is it doesn't say you have to change the world to make yourself happy. You have to change how you see the world. Mm-hmm. My favorite sentences of the book, it says, the holiest spot on earth, the earth, you know, time and space, is where an ancient hatred, David, that deserved to be hated, because of all the things that the world says, that's what ruined the world and continues to ruin the world, and it should be hated among all things. Where an ancient hatred becomes a present love.
Mm.
So what? Sorry. I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but I just need somebody to talk it through. Because what if there's a disconnect between... If I am coming from attempting to come from a Holy Spirit perspective on there not being loss and lack, but somebody else that I'm in relationship with feels that,
yes,
and may want you to feel that, yes, then I guess I'm a little lost as to how to hold how do I forgive in that situation? How do I show up in that situation with healing myself?
Two things. First is, sentence three, you don't share in their insanity. And second thing is you be honest. Mm-hmm. That means you're going to apply reason, your reason, to what you're dealing with the situation. So they say, I want you to write your whole bank account to me to try to make up for this wrong that you did. No, that just wouldn't be honest. I can't do that. I don't share your insanity that so much harm was done to you. But what can I do? What can I do?
Well, I wouldn't say it exactly that way.
What?
I wouldn't say it exactly that way to the person. They might get really pissed them off.
So what?
Yes.
I told them that, this is
so what if they get pissed off, David?
Well, yeah, you don't use the word insane. Right.
Well, I'm not using those different words.
Well, you don't use
the word insane. So in my example, it probably wouldn't be pissed off. It'd be more, it's a feeling of causing more, I would feel like I'm causing more pain.
Yes.
So, but that's my perception.
Yes.
So that's something I have to heal.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And
yes. You have to be honest.
That by being honest.
You have to be honest. In your honesty, which we know means consistency, that you actually only speak of what you are thinking and feeling. And then you only do what you've been speaking and thinking.
Yes.
That straight line...
I knew the answer, but...
Straight line of behavior that's consistent will allow you to be seen as consistent and trustworthy, even if it's not what they want to hear.
And if somebody's angry with you, says you did blah blah blah. You see, you know, I'm sorry that I did that. You know, if I hurt you or whatever, I'm sorry that you know that you're experiencing that.
Yes, and I don't wish that upon you then, and I don't wish it upon you now.
Right, but not like defending yourself trying to explain why that didn't happen.
No use. That's right.
It just feeds the fuel, the fire.
Just come to present and say, wow, I'm really uncomfortable with having hurt you in any way.
Exactly.
You know, and you say, what, Andrew, that's not Course in Miracles. You can't say you hurt somebody. You know, you're rolling into the light. Look, you got to speak their language.
Yeah.
We're talking about how you keep yourself sane.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, if you can pull it back into the present moment of how you feel now, think now, speak now, and do now, you'll be seen as trustworthy. And you will be forgetting the past and therefore reborn and inviting the other person to be reborn with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's done by not defending yourself,
yeah,
but by releasing, releasing, releasing.
Yeah. You kind of have to be willing to stand in the fire.
But do it honestly, which means you'll end up in reason. You'll still be holding your truth.
Yeah. You're
not going to lie and pander to make this person happy.
Right.
You'll be keeping your peace and coming to the present moment.
Mm.
And see if there's something you can do now.
So you use the truth in it, but you also, which is the other thing I realized you had to do, is you definitely have to speak their language.
Yes.
This is a great lesson, but I can't tell that person because they're going to not understand it. So if you don't think they're ready for it, it's their choice, their life. You have to kind of...
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I'll bring up stuff that people aren't ready for.
That's right. Yep.
And even they may ask the questions, you know.
Yeah. So that's the walk that we walk. But I want to bring us back now to this poison fear that we continue to run with and trust with. So, page 422, paragraph 11, sentence 4. Okay. Well, we'll go to sentence 3 again. Okay, now, for only if they share in it, the craziness, does it seem fearful. If you don't share in their craziness, now it just deserves pity, compassion.
Can we read the beginning of 11? Because I don't think we did.
What? Yes, we did.
I missed it.
Yeah. 2 or 3 times.
You want to go backwards again?
Oh, it's okay. I got it now. I just did. I guess I wasn't listening. Saw it again.
Yeah. To share with that makes it fearful. And you do share in it until you look upon your brother with perfect faith and love. Perfect faith and love and tenderness. It just means compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sentence 4. Without complete forgiveness, you still stand unforgiving, period.
Mm-hmm.
Without complete forgiveness. Forgiveness means release. Forgiveness means you are not holding on to that thought system.
You're judging the other person.
There's no such thing as partial forgiveness?
There's no such thing as partial forgiveness.
Okay.
Partial forgiveness is haphazard and half measure, and the part that you didn't forgive will grow back twice as strong.
So you can't make it mean anything. The person's like it... if the person's fearful and expressing that,
yes,
you can't make what they're saying mean anything. You have to let go of whatever it is that they're feeling
because
and make it mean anything for you.
Excellent. Excellent. That's right. That's correct.
Yeah.
You can't let insanity have sane meanings.
Right.
Dreams and insanity are not to be paid
attention
to.
Well, it may mean something to that person, and it may mean something in the world. But you can't, if you're not experiencing
that,
you can't buy into it.
Correct, because then it will grow in you.
Yeah.
And if you forgive partially, it's a lie.
You mean pander to, like, be, pander to that.
Pander to them.
Yeah.
And say, here's what it means by forgive partially. It looks like this. Sharon, I forgive you for opening your car door right into my car door, putting a dent into my car that I'm going to have to look at every day now because I don't have the money or desire to fix it. And I'm going to think of you every time, okay? That just hurts that you did that to my car. It's the only scratch I have in it now is a dent. But because I like you so much, and I'm such a nice guy, and I just want to not punish you at all for that. Because I want to forgive you for hurting me.
No, it's too late for the
I'm going to forgive you for hurting me. That's the world's forgiveness. I'm not going to punish you. Mm-hmm. I think it was a mistake that you did that. I don't think you meant to do that. You didn't mean to hurt me. I just said you hurt me again.
Mm-hmm.
I am attacking her with every sentence of forgiveness here. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the world's forgiveness, which we reuse the word entirely in this book. It's a lie! I am lying right to her face under
phony,
the guise
of... phony, because you're not expressing what you're really thinking.
That's right. But she's feeling it.
He's expressing it.
I'm expressing it. I'm shoving
but
the sword in.
Complete forgiveness. Like, you know, I forgive you for running over the dog, but not for throwing the cat off the roof.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Well, there's two different circumstances there, you know?
So it's different circumstances. I mean, can people just forgive you for some things and not for others?
Well, this is what we often in common do.
Or do you have to, like, blanket forgiveness?
So we're kind of the duality, right?
So
this is duality.
So that's duality.
This is a duality conversation.
Right.
And as we do our Course in Miracles, we learn that it has nothing to do with form whatsoever. Cat or dog are two forms. We start to learn that the idea of forgiveness itself, once completely executed on any one circumstance, is a healing of the mind that cannot be undone. What am I talking about with all these words? When you exercise what A Course in Miracles calls forgiveness, it's a spiritual understanding of that circumstance that is beyond its individual facts. The harm cannot be done to you.
Period.
Period. Cat, dog, bunny, blood, time, space. The forgiveness, of Course in Miracles, same word now. It's been being redefined. It's not in the dictionary.
I get this.
Yes. It's that only you can harm you. So now it doesn't matter whether it's a cat or it doesn't matter anything in the world now. The concept of forgiveness this book is teaching will now take you to a different understanding of how you live.
This kind of, we call it this idea, what is the one truth I can get from that statement is that none of us here has forgiven yet. So everything we're doing, we think is forgiveness, is what we shouldn't do.
When we get there,
the shift will be so dramatic that...
Yep.
It's interesting how the ego works. Because if anybody's wrong, if there's any faults out there, and some of us take if there's anything wrong, any faults, I'm guilty.
Uh-huh.
So how very fortunate that nobody's wrong and there's no fault.
Yeah.
Because if there was any of that for real, I'd be guilty.
That's right. And
I don't even have kids.
Key point.
I don't have all these responsibilities. So, like, my little stack of what I've achieved in terms of all the relationships, other people have them.
Yes.
I don't. And I still see it like that. Yes.
And you, if it was real, you just said it now, buddy.
Yeah.
You said it. If it was real, you would be guilty. You should be punished. And you will not be allowed into heaven because you have digressed. You're weak.
So then
you're sinful.
If there was any
if
fault, If there was anyone wrong.
Wrong. If. Key now.
And it's not just for me, it's anybody.
That's right, anybody participating right. that you could point your finger at.
If that was real,
yes.
I'd be really guilty.
Okay, that's what the world calls this a sin. It's an unforgivable mistake. It's wrong.
And I don't even I don't even have kids out there that I have any history with. I don't because a lot of people carry some loads.
Oh yeah.
So it's not bad or good. It's just thank God that everything's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank God that it is a dream of sin, a dream of harm, a dream of death. Otherwise, if it wasn't a dream, somebody should pay. Now, key now, if anywhere in the world there actually was loss, you will fear God. You must fear God. If there is loss, you must fear. You must fear God.
What loss? What kind of loss?
Get this now, Sharon. Any loss. Any loss where one thing is no longer whole because something happened to it.
Every one of our stories, everything we said today is about that.
You want to say no,
there's
Andrew.
There's not one thing we haven't said that doesn't involve that there's wrong or fault because we're working on this and that's beautiful.
You want to, just careful now. We're talking metaphysics here.
But you're talking... Okay.
If you try to put a level to it, well, Andrew, something don't matter. Some things in the world do matter. If you kill my kid, that's it. I draw the line at my own child. You kill my dog, I'm going to forgive you. Take my car, I'm going to forgive you. If you burn my house, I'm going to forgive you. But don't mess with my kids. Don't do that. That's a sin. If you kill a child, I'm sorry. That's it. This is the world tried to put some level, see? You're back in the ego.
So it's all or nothing. I mean, so I got that.
Say that again. It's all or nothing.
All or nothing. Yeah.
It's all or nothing. Either this is a dream or it's real. That's it. No. This is why loss in A Course in Miracles, okay, and we read this recently, to A Course in Miracles, loss and death are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any loss. Because that makes the dream real, see? And if the dream is real, if there is loss anywhere, then I'm just going to draw a big conclusion because we only have 15 minutes left. You're going to put it on God. You're going to be afraid of God because He's the one who owns it all. He's the one that's supposedly the keeper of oneness and wholeness and love, and you took it.
But you're saying, so you're saying, what you're talking, what this is talking about is the essence of me, of what I really am. So what I'm really in can't have any loss.
Yes.
The physical me, can have loss, but that's not, well, it does feel like it means something, but.
Yes.
That's where I'm having the problem.
No, you said it perfectly. High five, fist bump. Yeah. the real you cannot experience loss. I can even tell you why.
Please do.
Because chapter 4 now, you are love,
pure and simple,
and the law of love is give and only give. Mm-hmm. Period. That's the real you. That's your real nature. You are a fountain that doesn't ever shut off. The real you. In the world, it comes and it goes and it freezes and it breaks and, oh my God.
It's conditional.
Yes. But the real you now is an extension of God that continues to extend. That's its nature.
How can I keep doing that and not feel shitty for doing that because I'm getting pooped on?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Well, what you need is a miracle to stop pooping on yourself.
And that's the key.
That's the key.
Pooping on ourselves. Yeah. Now I'm thinking, we don't have to forgive everybody in the world, or anybody in the world, except ourselves.
Well, I'm saying that David is David.
That's the start. That's the start and the finish.
David's innocent.
I forgive myself and everything.
David's innocent, always has been innocent, has never done anything wrong.
That's right.
And I don't think most of us can hear that enough.
That's right.
Because, boy, we don't like to stand on that usually.
That's right.
The world does not accept that.
See, I'm talking the problem with the physicality of us,
yes,
and then the pureness of us.
Yes.
Because I keep blurring those lines.
Very good.
That's
correct. Yes, absolutely right. That's the conundrum.
What we are is love.
Yes, but we don't see ourselves as love because of the physicality.
Yeah. Okay.
When you look in the mirror, you don't see the love.
Okay.
Okay? Which is why we need to have what A Course in Miracles calls a holy instant here and there. Okay. A holy instant is a break in a time interval. The bodies live in an interval of time that's very sequential. Past, present, future. You only get the present because the past, and the future is an extension of the past. And okay, sequential, like that. A holy instant, you step out of time, even only for an instant. You get reborn when you let your past go. And in a moment like that, something interesting happens. A transportation of your consciousness occurs.
Well, that's a miracle.
Yes,
a miracle is a shift
out of this linear victim sequence of this past, therefore that future.
Some people call it an aha moment.
To break out of that in the aha moment and actually take a breath in it as a holy instant. And you find yourself very free and it's out of time. But you're also visiting a pure sense of freedom. That's your natural state. When you feel those, and this is, you have a miracle to shift your perception about a problem you're having, and then you use forgiveness to let go of the thoughts that you normally have, because now that you're shifted out of the problem being dangerous, you don't have to have those thoughts, so you don't. That's forgiveness. And in that situation where the problem's present, since you're not defending or attacking, you breathe easy. Maybe for the first time. That is the true forgiveness that brings a lighter sense of being, which is why I like to call it enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. So we never forgive. I never forgive you, I never forgive you, and I'm just forgiving me.
You're giving your thoughts about it, yes. You're forgiving you for having thoughts that way that have been sucking up your life.
You can't do anything about somebody else's thoughts.
So, yes.
I'm forgiving my thoughts about...
They're forgiving you. Forgiving you. Okay. And the only thing about you can forgive is your thoughts. You...
The physical thoughts, not the actual me.
The thoughts! Your thoughts are your life.
That's true.
Sharon?
True.
So I can take my car and I run into a fence. I took my car and ran into a fence. Okay.
Yep.
There's no point, like, really forgiving that. I mean, it's just the physical things hitting. I feel really bad and then start blaming other people for what happened. Those are thoughts I can forgive because those thoughts are true. In fact, they're the opposite of truth. I want to forgive those thoughts, no longer be attached to how thoughts made me feel. There's no point in forgiving the fact that I ran my car into a fence. I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. I have a problem is the world I've taken in and all the feelings I've taken that are going to associate with that. Mm-hmm. And because of how I've trained myself and what I've learned, I can't simply let that go. In fact, it happened today. Not running into a car, but
yep.
Feelings.
That's it.
They didn't go away instantly simply because I go, those thoughts aren't real. Yes. The feelings are still with me.
Yes.
But I've learned that those will go away. That's just the physical stuff. And yes. People can do it better. But I don't need to forgive the fact that I ran my car into a fence or whatever.
Yep.
That's not what I need to forgive.
Yep.
I need to forgive all the blame.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
and
it.
All those other stuff.
That's it.
That's attached to... It's not even attached to the car in the fence. I've made this stuff up from the past. Yeah. I'm bringing it into the present because that's the world I've assumed.
What's
and
worse? What's
forgive.
Worse, pain or suffering?
Pain's just pain.
And suffering?
Suffering is kind of wishing it was different.
About
suffering, I've suffered, but solution. I don't suffer like I used to because I know it's not really necessary.
That's what you just told us. That hitting the fence is painful. $1,200 in damage. And your car too, right? Oops. But the suffering that can follow that is in your head.
Yeah.
And it will cost you and cost you and cost you.
But and I can't just go, that's not real, and snap my fingers and have it gone at this moment.
Right?
I call upon Holy Spirit,
yes.
Someone I've actually learned to have. Someone. Call someone.
Yeah,
right
you can
now,
call someone in relationship.
That I've actually learned has earned my trust.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is real.
Yes.
Because no matter what happens,
yep.
This side of the tracks is better.
Yeah, that's right.
Always works.
Better
even
choice.
If I don't see it,
yes.
It doesn't matter.
Yes.
The other side,
Yeah. That's right. Stinking thinking always brings more pain.
So it's like, what a gift.
Yes. Yes.
And it's not going to be taken away from me.
That's right.
What a gift.
It's become a new addiction and a good one. Feed that one. Feed choosing peace.
I never would have imagined that when I was like younger, when I was a young person.
Stop attacking yourself. Nobody else is watching. You're just busy attacking yourself.
So here in the back, wow.
Hey, don't do that.
Even when we think somebody's attacking us, it's us that's attacking ourselves.
That's right.
That's nobody's right. attacking us ever.
Okay.
We're just attacking ourselves.
Turn to, okay, first, let's go to paragraph 12. We will be revisiting 12 next week. We
but we didn't make it.
We didn't do it.
We're going to touch it, though. Because 12's got some work on it. So we're going to get started this week, and then we'll finish it up next week. Okay. So
we're going to prepare to read.
We're going to prepare. Yeah. So under the appearance of moving forward, would you please read paragraph 12? Yeah. Every ladies and gentlemen, paragraph 12. Read to you by Mark.
This brother.
10 minutes to spare.
This brother who stands beside you still seems to be a stranger. You do not know him, and your interpretation of him is very fearful. And you attack him still to keep what seems to be yourself unharmed, yet in his hands is your salvation. You see his madness, which you hate because you share it, and all the pity and forgiveness that would heal it gives way to fear. Brother, you need forgiveness of your brother. For you will share in madness or in heaven together, and you and he will raise your eyes in faith together or not at all.
Did you hear that? Did you hear the job description you have dealing in that difficult situation?
Either you go together or you don't go at all.
That's right. And if you believe in his problem, you will both go down into the darkness of the problem, not in any solution whatsoever.
I think that we could also say, this brother who stands as you still seems to be a stranger. And I do not know myself, and my interpretations of myself is very fearful, et cetera, for the rest of the paragraph.
Yes, yes, yes. And you attack him still to keep what seems to be yourself unharmed. What seems to be yourself unharmed. You think you, the innocent one, is unharmed. But because you're attacking your brother, you're continuing to put yourself in a vulnerable situation, and you're harmed. If I defend myself, I am attacked. Julie?
Well, it's really your conversation with Sharon when you were pretending to forgive her, combined with what you said on guilt. Because as in the world's forgiveness, the way that Andrew was forgiving you, he was making that guilt more real, making attack real, and it's by saying, oh, you know, you made me feel bad with the dent in the car, but I will forgive you. The fact that someone can harm someone else is means that you can be harmed, and it makes that guilt, it just makes it's another circle. So you might be blaming somebody else, but you've just now allowed yourself to be vulnerable to blame.
That's it.
And whether that's blame that somebody else puts on you or whether it's self-blame, but you made the whole concept of blame and yes. guilt real.
Another way to say that is, you spot it, you got it. But that's right, Julie. Making it real. If it's real out there, it's real for you.
And that's why, I guess for me, that's why this paragraph... That's what it's essentially saying.
Beautiful.
Is that you have to not project something out on your brother. Heal your mind, because that frees them at the same time. And you go together.
That's right. You go together. Oh. You have to be freed from your perception of the harm. Mm-hmm. They are doing what they do. But if you share what they do, you are definitely going that way. Mm-hmm. And suffering will ensue. Turn to page 584.
Kind of like when someone attacks you.
Thank you.
And the moment you defend yourself, you're agreeing with their attack.
That's correct. You're proving their attack when you defend yourself. You're proving your attack. 584 now, paragraph 12. And so let's just read a couple of paragraphs. Stefan, would you read paragraph 12 for us?
A brother separated from yourself an ancient enemy, a murderer who stalks you in the night and plots your death, yet plans that it be lingering and slow. Of this you dream. Yet underneath this dream is yet another in which you become the murderer and the secret enemy, the scavenger and the destroyer of your brother and the world alike.
You see that? Mm-hmm. First one is you dream they're the attacker, and then you know what? I would like to murder them for doing that, for having those thoughts. Mm-hmm. You're both attackers here. Mm-hmm. Please continue.
Here is the cause of suffering, the space between your little dreams and your reality. The little gap you do not even see, the birthplace of illusions and of fear, the time of terror and of ancient hate, the instant of disaster, all are here. Here is the cause of unreality, and it is here that it will be undone.
Julie?
You are the dreamer of the world of dreams. No other cause it has, nor ever will. Nothing more fearful than an idle dream has terrified God's Son and made him think that he has lost his only innocence, denied his Father, and made war upon himself. So fearful is the dream, so seeming real, it could not waken to reality without the sweat of terror and a scream of mortal fear, unless a gentler dream preceded its awakening. And allowed his calmer mind to welcome, not to fear, the voice that calls with love to waken him to a gentler dream in which his suffering was healed and where his brother was his friend. God willed he waken gently and with joy and gave him means to waken without fear.
Beautiful. A gentler dream comes in. You start shifting your mind away from absolutely being attacked. Bridget?
Accept the dream he gave instead of yours. It is not difficult to change a dream when once the dreamer has been recognized. Rest in the Holy Spirit and allow his gentle dreams to take the place of those you dreamed in terror and in fear of death. He brings forgiveness, forgiving dreams, in which the choice is not who is the murderer and who shall be the victim. In the dreams he brings, there is no murder and there is no death. The dream of guilt is fading from your sight, although your eyes are closed. A smile has come to lighten up your sleeping face. The sleep is peaceful now, for these are happy dreams.
And you do get better sleep doing Course in Miracles. Even as you have to go to court, you keep your court date, you do sleep better as you approach these things. David?
Excuse me. Dream softly of your sinless brother, who unites with you in holy innocence.
That's no short sentence. Please read it again.
Dream softly of your sinless brother who unites with you in holy innocence.
That's an entire approach to the holy relationship,
mm-hmm.
and to healing and to approach a difficult person and difficult situation. Mm-hmm. Dream of their innocence. Please continue.
And from this dream, the Lord of Heaven will himself awaken his beloved son.
Because it warms your heart with compassion, even as you disagree with what they're saying and how they're saying it. Because you're connecting with them at another level of compassion, you're dreaming of their sinlessness, you're starting to join. It's namaste. You're joining with, your heart is joining their heart. Please continue.
Dream of your brother's kindnesses instead of dwelling in your dreams on his mistakes. Select his thoughtfulness to dream about instead of counting up the hurts he gave.
Save what you love rather than attack what you hate. Please continue.
Forgive him his illusions and give thanks to him for all the helpfulness he gave. And do not brush aside his many gifts because he is not perfect in your dreams. He represents his Father, whom you see as offering both life and death to you.
Remember to forgive him his illusions and forgive him his illusions now. Forgive him his illusions in your head. Forgive him his illusions in your head. Forgive him his illusions in your head. And give thanks to him for all the helpfulness that he gave. This is where you lighten the compassion in you for the truth. Luann?
Brother, he gives but life. Yet what you see as gifts your brother offer represent the gifts you dream your father gives to you. Let all your brother's gifts be seen in light of charity and kindness offered you. And let no pain disturb your dream of deep appreciation for his gifts to you.
This is how you reverse your attack.
I wrote a love letter to my brother, who I haven't talked to in almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Saying all the things he's done for me that I can remember over the years.
Nice.
It was very nice. And then the pain of it was, he didn't write me back.
That's the pain of it. That's the suffering.
Right.
That's now a suffering.
It's a victim.
Yeah, you're a victim. Yeah, you're seeking for love in the wrong places. Go back to where the love was, which is you wrote the letter. There's huge love there.
I keep doing that over and over.
Be there.
Whatever you like to say.
Be there, because that's the truth of where the love is.
I was going to say that about you.
And now you can actually be in love.
Innocence thing.
Look back at the letter again.
I had to say that. That was feeling. That was coming up.
You look outside of the letter, you fall out of love.
That wasn't for me. I don't even think that way.
The source of love is not where the world thinks. Oh, yeah.
You're giving him my energy, you're giving him yours. So she's giving me hers, and I'm giving you, it's passing through us.
Okay, just, you can hold hands, but don't do it wrong. Okay? All right? So to forget your past, to take you born. You just let all that go?
Oh, my goodness.
Think of how quiet your world can be.
Yeah.
Think how present you can be. You know you can't love tomorrow.
Ooh.
And you can't re-love in the past. Past is gone. You can't love tomorrow. If you want love, it's right now. You're in this circle right now with a bunch of people who come here just like you did. They come here to be reborn, please. They come here to let go of the suffering. We're not denying the pain. We're denying the harm that the pain can do. That's to be reborn. It's a big fixation on the past that we're going to let go. We shall deny that together. That's a good reason to come here and form this circle. To be reborn. In the present moment is where you can love and where you're happy. It's where your rest is. It's where your helpfulness is. If you want to be helpful in the world, to yourself or anybody else, you're going to do it when you're present, not when you're predicting pain or remembering loss. In the present, you can help other people to forget their past and to be reborn and look upon the present without condemnation by doing just that. That's how we help your brother and help you. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, we're working it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's 12 and past.
Same topic next week.
A redo.
Hey, David.
Mark, yeah.